But we love it. We're having a great time. What a fantastic time I had yesterday. Just enjoyed that so much. Enjoyed having my boys with me. And the fun didn't stop at the activity yesterday. We ended up, the boys wanted to go swim, so they went swimming. And then we ended up over at Donald Savini's. And he pulled out the Wii Connect. And Jack beat Luke. Or did he beat Donald at soccer? Who'd Jack beat? Everybody? The boxing was great. He knocked them all out, and we filmed that and had a good time with that. And then Brother Donald and I started pulling out the guitars, and boy, we had revival. And so we had a good time there, and had a lot of fun. They were so good to us last night, went back, and they wanted to swim again. And so we just had a great time. Thank you. I'm just honored to be here, thrilled to be here. I've been here for the revivals, the teen revivals. I was here for the youth conference. I've not been here for church, and what a beautiful church. What an awesome Sunday. And just good to be here today. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. We'll talk about the home and fathers a little bit later this morning. But I'll tell you this, it sure is exciting to be a father. And I appreciate that. I'm like your pastor a little bit. I've got in twice, man. I've got a biological father, I was adopted, and I got a heavenly father. I got it all. I got the best of all the worlds. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and we'll begin looking at verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, a familiar portion of Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, beginning verse number 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse number 2 says, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Verse number 4 says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse number 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Verse number 8 says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? Verse number 10 says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse number 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You know, in these 11 verses, the word time is referenced 30 different times. And God makes a final statement about time in verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. And this is why we need Him. We need Him to do His work in our lives. Anybody else found out the hard way like I have? When I try to put my hands on it and I try to do it, sometimes it might turn out okay. But most of the time when I'm trying to do it, I can make a mess of things. But boy, when God has His will, when God has His way in my life, my goodness, He can do some great things. God's timing, in my opinion, makes all the difference. You ever have a vehicle where the timing's off? You ever have that? The vehicle's still run. It's not running like it should. It's not running correctly. Something's just off. You know what? God's timing makes all the difference as well. If we're going to run the way that God designed us and created us to run, then we've got to make sure that timing's on. And I don't know about you, but boy, I sure sometimes like to try to run ahead of God and get everything figured out. I don't want to just exist, church. I want to survive. I want to survive. And I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. I say this often, if the Christian life is not the best life to live, then what are we doing? But I submit to you, it is the greatest life. I mean, good night. That doesn't mean the Christian life is absence of difficulties or problems. But I'll tell you this, has God been good to us or what? Hey. I mean, goodness, it just gets better and better and better. And I want to thrive. I want to run the way that God created me to run. Anybody else in your devotion time and your time alone with God, sometimes you just say, Lord, you got to work overtime on me. Man, I need help. But the fact is, we're saying, God, I really want you to work. I don't want to just exist. I want you to use me for whatever that might be. And God says that there are seasons and periods of time for different purposes. Boy, I'm a mess, I'll tell you that. I'm more like borderline hedonism sometimes. You say, well, Brother Hagin, what are you talking about? I'm like all for the next best thing, you know. We went in, March. I took my family on a vacation. We went to Gatlinburg. Anybody ever been to Gatlinburg? Lots of fun. Been there several times. And then it was like, well, what's the next thing? And then I got to take the seniors to our Christian school, the Disney World. And after that, what's the next best thing? I'm going to go take a couple days away with my wife for a honeymoon. What's the next best thing? And, you know, we'll probably go to Michigan Adventure this summer. And then I got taking the tour out. It's like the next thing. But, you know, I got to thinking about that. I'm always like, hey, what's the next thing we're going to do? What's the next thing we're going to do? One day, the next thing is going to be heaven.
Yeah,
you know, as much fun as you can have. I mean, there's plenty of heartache, but as much fun as you can have here on earth, do you realize the day's going to come as we go through those hardship times? And the next day, it's going to be, you know what? Heaven's coming.
Right.
Heaven's coming. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought in this Sunday school, this simple Bible study entitled Caps and Crowns. Caps and Crowns. When I was in fifth grade, I was playing basketball. My dad used to be the varsity basketball coach for Gaylord High School in our small town of 3,500. When I was growing up, it was a big deal. It was a really big deal. My dad was a JV football coach. He umpired. He taught everybody good night. My dad did driver's ed. I was with the tour group preacher in Houston, Texas last summer. Somebody walked up to me in the church and said, "Your dad taught me driver's ed." I'm telling you, the crazy, he's been doing it for 25, 30, 35 years. And so, real well known, we were the coaches' kids in town, and my dad used to put on a basketball camp. And I know I'm probably in the rough territory. My son Luke, I mean, I think if you cut Luke, he'd bleed green. He just absolutely loves Michigan State. You know, we're more Michigan fans, but he's kind of turned the family a little bit. But back in the day, my dad used to do a basketball camp in our town, and he'd bring up a lot of the Michigan players. Back when they had, what was it, the Fabulous Five or whatever it is, they've all been up. They've stayed in my house. But I remember one of the guys staying in my bed, and his feet were like hanging off. I like peeking in there. His feet were hanging off my bed. As far as my dad would bring all these people up, they'd have a huge basketball camp in our town. Well, when I was in fifth grade, I was attending that basketball camp, and we were scrimmaging, and our team was losing. And I know you can't imagine this. I kind of lost control, got caught up in everything. And Brother Donald, one of the guys, was running for a fast break, and they were going to go run up, and they were going to run up, and they were going to do a layup. And here I come, just passionately running, just as fast as I could, and I went to block him. You say, "Brother Hagelin, what are you thinking?" I wasn't thinking. That'll be obvious when I tell you what I did. I like did a Superman. I mean, he's going to go up and he's going to do this layup. I come running behind him. Okay, here's this guy. I go soaring over him. My stomach hit his head. When that happened, it flipped me down like this, and I hit face first on the gym floor. Yes, Donald, that's exactly what happened to my face. All right, so I can see that one coming, okay? I can see the text. "Is that what happened, brother? Thanks for letting me know. I've always wondered, you know, why your nose was like this." But when I hit that floor, my two front teeth cracked off halfway, shattered. And I, like, went into psycho mode because I knew they were my adult teeth. And I'm like, "I'm scarred for life, brother. I'm never getting married. I'm going to be the laughingstock everywhere I go. I didn't know you could fix that stuff." I'm like, "These are my real teeth. These are my real teeth. What am I going to do?" And what I learned was, very quickly, I learned that you could do caps. Anybody ever have a cap? All right. Caps can be quite discouraging. Boy, I remember the first one, they kind of, you know, they take this bonding material and they make like a tooth, and they made the one like too big, and, you know, trying to get it shaved. They're looking at pictures. And I'm just like, "Man, my life is over, brother." But I got that figured out, and I received several of those because they're temporary. They're pretty easy to knock off and to chip off. Now, I don't know about you. If you've ever had caps, I just, you know, the moment you chip it off, it's a big deal to go to the dentist and to go get that fixed, and hopefully they'll shape it just right. And my goodness, I got so frustrated with that. But the caps were temporary. When I turned 18 years old, actually I was like 18, 19 years old, my parents had good insurance, and I was smart enough at 18 years old that before I get off my parents' insurance, I want to get my crowns. All right. And if you know about what crowns are, they're the permanent. Okay. I have crowns on, and, you know, you can chip those, you can hit those. I've had one replaced since I was 18. I've had a couple problems and things, but for the most part, boy, you can nick them, you can hit them. They're just about as good as a regular tooth. But I could not get those crowns until I was older, because at fifth grade, although I had my adult teeth in, they were not fully matured yet, so to put crowns on those teeth would have been counterproductive. And so I've got plenty of stories about those caps and those crowns, but I want to show you, just tell you about some things that I've learned about caps and crowns. One thing is this. I made a decision to play basketball. The result was some unfortunate and unpleasant circumstances that were out of my control. I'm sure if I asked you to raise hands, some of you gentlemen, you've played sports, and as you got older, you thought you could still play like you could when you were 17 and 18 years old, and you realized not feeling so good, and you might have hurt yourself, okay? And you're like, man, I made the decision to do it. We just got a tetherball installed at our house. Well, I'll tell you this, it's amazing. You know, my kids were like, well, what's a tetherball? Well, it's like a pole with a rope attached to a ball. Seriously, Dad? Okay, how do you download it? No, son, you don't download that, okay? We went out, and it was so fun because there was no technology involved whatsoever, just having a blast. And I'll tell you this, having a lot of fun with my kids until the next morning where I woke up, I'm like, you know, my whole body's aching, you know? But you've been hurt before, I'm sure you've done something, but you made that decision to go do that. And so one thing that I learned about the cap and crown experiences is this, that I made a decision to play, and there were some results for that. Second thing was, although it would have been nice to have my crowns at the beginning and not had to go through all of those cap experiences, I had to learn to wait. Whether I wanted to or not, I had to learn to wait and be patient because my teeth were not finished growing yet. As I told you, the crowns would have been counterproductive. But my goodness, breaking a cap was so discouraging. Another thing that I learned is I realized that the caps were a temporary fix. It wasn't always going to be like this. One day, if I just endure, one day would come when I'd get my crowns. And you know, there was hope for the future. The frustration that the caps brought me would one day subside because I would get my crown. So I had something to look forward to. And then I also learned this. The caps and crowns have made me laugh. It's not all been bad. Brother Savini, I was on our soul winning bus. I was trying to get everybody quieted down before we leave. And my tooth had become loose. It was a crown. And it had become loose, and I was going to have to go get it kind of fixed. But it was still kind of hanging in there. You wouldn't know, but if I pushed it hard enough, it would kind of sit down a little bit. But it had been getting looser and looser, and I had an appointment. And I was on the bus. I'm like, now everybody listen up. Listen up. Hey, we're getting ready to... And this thing flew right out of my mouth. Now, they thought I was joking around. I'm sitting here going, nobody move. Nobody move. You say, how much does it cost to get your two front teeth for Christmas? I'll tell you exactly how much it costs. $2,000 is what it costs, all right? $1,000 a tooth, all right? I get a good deal. I have a radio broadcast. My dentist listens to my broadcast. He doesn't go to our church, but for whatever reason, he's decided he likes me, so I get half off. So it's $1,000, but still, I didn't want to lose that. You know, they're kicking it all over the place, stupid teenagers. You know, I'm like, what are you doing? And then when they realized when I smiled, because I didn't really want them to see it, because I'm like, you know, adults are like, brother, we'd be praying for you. Teenagers are like, oh, yes, smile. We're going to make you famous, Brother Haglin. This will get me 10,000 likes on Facebook or whatever. And so I'm not wanting to look. When I looked at it and they saw it, they're like, oh, my goodness. You know, like I'm falling apart, you know. And so I got that fixed. I remember when they were first doing it, I was in the dentist chair, which seemed like forever. And if you know anything about crowns, what they do is they take your original tooth, they kind of grind it down into like a little stump, and that's what, you know, the new tooth kind of gets attached to. Well, I didn't know what they were doing. And so I'm in this chair, and they've been drilling on me forever, and then they went to go do something else. I was waiting for whatever. And you know, they get that big light, and sometimes if you look at it just right, you know, it's like a mirror. And I'm like, I wonder what they've been doing this past hour. And I look, and I got two little stumps sticking out. I'm like, at first I'm like, oh no, what have you done? And I'm like, vampire. Ah. You know, I'm like doing all the, just what stupid kids do. But it's not all been bad. It's been quite funny. One time it came off, I think I was in church. We were sitting in church, and preacher was preaching, and I was grabbing a glass of water, and I think I nicked the tooth, and it fell down in there. I'm like trying to get my tooth out. This is the craziest things have happened. But it's not been all bad. I've learned to laugh at it and have some fun with it. You know, it just makes me feel older as well. You know, it's like my hair is gone. I'm over 40. I drive a minivan. I've got about 4 crowns and fake teeth. Man, trying to be cool is like a long, long way away. I think some time ago we rented a movie from the library and I actually liked it. So being cool, I mean, it's just gone. So hence, we'll make you a vice president of a college and get you away from the teenagers. But, you know, just like my physical cap and crown experience with my teeth, you know, we all go through cap and crown times in our life, don't we? The Scripture teaches us that there are, in the Scripture that we read there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that there's good times and then not so good times. There's times that are easy, and there are some times that are difficult. There are times that are it's all about work, and then there's times it's all about relaxation. Here's what I've done for our study today. The cap experiences in our lives are those temporary times. They're frustrating sometimes. Many times they're inconvenient. Sometimes they're expensive. The cap portion of my teeth experience, they were frustrating. They were inconvenient, expensive. I'm going to have to change my schedule and go get them fixed. But the crown experiences, although the cap experiences are temporary, the crown experiences are what I say are the permanent things. They're more fulfilling. They're more rewarding and exciting. Here's my challenge to you this morning in Sunday school. Hang in there. Hang in there. Many of us at times are going to go through those cap type experiences. But there's going to come a day when we're going to get the crown experience. And if we stay faithful, there's some great things to look forward to. I think about David, about his cap and crown experiences. I think about his cap experience. You remember when he had been anointed? He'd been anointed to be the king. Well, I'm sure that was pretty overwhelming for that young man and trying to piece everything together. But realizing, even through Saul's son David, knowing even Jonathan knew that you're going to be the king one day. And everyone's saying, you're going to be the king one day. You're going to be the king one day. But before he ever became the king, he had those cap experiences. Do you remember he's running from Saul? Like some fugitive. Now, we have different technology and things today that make it more difficult for someone to hide. But you imagine having the President of the United States and all of his authority trying to track you down? You think about it in his day, hiding in caves. God, what are you doing? You anointed me and this is what I get. I've wrote Psalms. You've used me to write portions of your word. I mean, you've shown me what I'm going to be doing in my life, and this doesn't make any sense. I'm on the run. I'm scared for my life. No doubt frustrated, at times inconvenient. You remember when they went to Ziklag and they came back and his own men were going to kill him. And the Bible says you're going to stone him. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. You want to know why he didn't encourage himself in the Lord? Because he was discouraged. God, this is what I get. I've been faithful to you. Not only is the king of the land after me, not only while I'm on the run did this happen to our families and everything's been stolen. I want to go fix that. They're all blaming me. Lord, I need your help. Man, what a cap experience. Sometimes those cap experiences can seem like they're going to last forever. You ever been there? It's never going to be the same. It's like Bible college, you know. I remember being in Bible college and all the studying and all the finances. And mostly, you pray for kids that are in Bible college, whether they're at Grace or somewhere else, you pray for them. Their schedules are just crazy. I remember mine, you know, go to school in the morning. And then they got to work. Then they got to find time to study. And then if they're going to have any kind of life outside of that, it's almost like working 3 or 4 of jobs. But I remember going through Bible college and having to study. And I remember staying up late and getting up early and just going after it. But I had to remind myself, you know, it's not going to be like this forever. I hope. You know, I hope I'm going to pass. But you know what? It was such a good time for me. I learned so many things at that time in my life. But it was a cap experience. You know, so David went through those cap experiences. But you want to know what? He also had the crowning experiences. One day he would take the throne. One day he would look around and be used of God to be one of the greatest kings that ever lived. And not in private, but look around and say, Lord, I imagine he had to. Because he's made out of the same stuff we are. He had to look around every once in a while, preacher, and go, you know, I remember. Just looking out at the kingdom going, I remember when I was on the run. God, you are so good. You've made me even forget all that stuff. God, you are so good. What a blessing. Well, I think about Joseph. Boy, there's some cap and crown experiences, aren't there? Good night. Anybody ever read the book of Genesis? and you're reading through Joseph's experience, and he's like such a man of God through the whole thing, but you get angry and bitter for him? Anybody else do that? I'm like, man, I would be so angry, man. And it just had to be so cool, you know, when he ended up becoming the second man of the land and just making eye contact with Potiphar. And beyond that, Potiphar's wife. You remember me? Remember you lied about me? I imagine they were, I think we're going to move out of the kingdom. We're feeling like we want to transfer our membership, you know, out of this country. But you know what? Some cap and crown experiences. And you know what? Thankfully, Joseph did not quit at the cap experiences, because the crown experiences was used to do so much more than his life. It's such an awesome story. Some thoughts about the cap experiences. Sometimes we find ourselves in frustrating situations, not because we've sinned or messed up, sometimes just because we decided to follow the Lord. You know, we say things like this: well, if this is the way people are, if this is the way things are going to be, then, you know, I'm not going to live for God. You know, I have to deal with that sometimes. Sometimes in the ministry, I'll think, good night, man, I have to deal with this or that. Oh, I'm sure if I was managing a Walmart store, there'd be no problems with staff. There'd be no problems with people I work with. Right. You know, sometimes the devil's just a master at making us think that that everything is better. It's just like, you want to know what? Sometimes the decisions and things that we deal with are not so much because of sin. Sometimes it's just because we're following the Lord. We say stuff like this: well, Lord, this is what I get. I decided to follow you. Boy, I remember right after I got right with God, when I was 19 years old, I started going to church on Sundays, and God was just doing a work in my life. And true story, I had left church, I was driving home, and I was going through town, and right by our library where our state police department is, the speed limit is like crazy. It's like 30 miles per hour. And I was doing about 45 or 50. So it wasn't like I was doing 80 and a 70 or something like that. I mean, I was doing 20 over. But I was thinking about the sermon. Seriously, I was thinking about all the things that God had been doing in my life. So I was kind of daydreaming. I got pulled over and got a ticket. And guess what I did? I'm sure nobody else has done this. But here's what happened. When I pulled away, seriously, Lord, I started going to church and living for you, and this is what I get. I get a ticket. You know, as if it's all God's fault, you know. But it's just funny how we think about things like that. You know, had I stayed home and not gone to church, I would probably not have gotten that ticket that day. So, you know, there's just things, and it's not God's fault. It was my fault. I wasn't paying attention. But the whole point is, you know, sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in frustrating situations from a decision to follow the Lord in life in general, or a bad decision. But remember, the cap part experiences, they're only temporal. Although it would have been nice to skip the cap experiences in my life without them, in our Christian lives, we don't grow the way that God wanted us to. Well, I know that's almost like that servant Abraham, the servant of Abraham, when he went to go find a wife for Isaac. He's praying. And while he's praying, he watches his prayer, the answer to his prayer, unfold to a T right before his very eyes. And I love that statement. He says, as I was in the way, the Lord led me. Usually you don't make those statements until it's past. And that's where we say hindsight is 20/20. Can I tell you something? You go through those cap experiences knowing that one day I'm going to look back and say, okay, now I see it. I couldn't see it when I was in it, but now I see it. And without them, without those cap experiences in our Christian lives, if we were to skip those, there's so many areas we would not grow in our faith. Cap experiences are necessary in order to get the crowns. Here's another thought. Remind yourself that the present struggles and difficulties are only temporary and will only last for a period of time. Sometimes we dig our own grave, we dig our own pit, sometimes we don't. Whatever it is, most things in life, that situation-wise, are usually temporary, and one day they will pass too. So not me, Brother Hagland. You don't understand what I've been diagnosed with. You don't know what I have to deal with. Well, you know what? I do know this. I do know this, that one day we've got heaven. So there is a crowning day coming. Amen? And then I told you this. Learn to laugh. Enjoy the journey. Sometimes you just gotta laugh, or you're just gonna go insane. You just gotta say, you gotta be kidding me. This is almost comical. Lord, yours is so good. Help me through this. Good verse to consider when going through a cap experience is this. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." In other words, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. The fact that we are going through, what we're going through is not permanent, can help me get through the next stage. You say, well, Brother Hagelin, what's the instruction of the Christian in a capped situation. We'll quote for you a pretty familiar passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child and you're struggling. It's a cap experience. You just keep pressing on. You keep pressing on. You know, the instructions to press on is to press on because the crowning day could be today. And we don't want to quit too early. I've done that before. I don't want to miss it. I remember one time I was in Bible college. Preacher, you had to have like your bill down to $500, I think it was, or you could not take your exams. I owed $1,600. And I was working. I had given everything I had. It was my first semester in Bible college. You have to understand, I mean, if you would have seen me, you could tell I had the world dripping off me. But I was in, man. I was trying so hard. My family, good people, but just not born again, just not Christians, good people, but said, they weren't real excited about me going to a non-accredited college. And they were more scared, you know, what if you change your mind or whatever? But, man, I was in. And so I was kind of, in a sense, on my own. And my bill was due in order to take the exams the next day. And I remember a doormate, you know, one of my roommates said this, "Well, brother, just trust God." Whatever, trust God, brother, while yours is all taken care of. Appreciate that. Wait till you fall asleep and just I'm gonna pound you. But I think they told me a story and encouraged me. And so I prayed before I went to bed. You know, I'm like, because I went to Crown College, I'm like, "Lord, I left everything. I sold everything I have. I have nothing. I have given you everything. Lord, I felt like you led me down here, and now I owe $1,600. Lord, I'm just praying. You said you'd take care of my needs. Will you pay my bill?" Now, I wish I could tell you it was like one of those prayers like, "Dear God in heaven, I'm trusting you no matter what." No, it was pathetic is what it was. I kind of had an attitude. Now, I'm sure no one here has ever had an attitude with God. He has a way of giving you attitude adjustment, too. But I'll tell you this. That's back in the day, kids. There was a thing before cell phones. They were called pay phones, all right? And you had to put quarters and things. Or remember calling cards and credit cards and all that stuff to make phone calls. Well, we had a pay phone in our dorm. The phone rang at 5 o'clock in the morning. One of the guys woke me up and said, "Hey, you have a phone call. It's your dad." Well, you get a call like that, you're afraid something bad's happened. My lost dad on the other line, I get on the phone. I said, "Dad, it's Derek. What's wrong?" He says, "Nothing." He says, "Son, I had a dream. You need some money. Is that true?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Well, I just wanted you to know your grandma's sending you $500. I'm sending you $500. My parents have been divorced. He says, your mom's sending you $500. Is that going to help you out?" And I said, "Yes, sir." Now, I'm sure that they probably had an idea. The school probably communicated with them where I was, you know, with my bill. But I didn't know that. They never even told me that. And he said, I got to get to work. Just want to let you know, because he would do driver's ed really early in the morning. He says, "I got to go." I wish I could tell you, I went back to my bunk bed going, "God, you're so good. Praise the Lord." No, it was like this. "Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't have faith. You know, I was kind of praying the night before. God, I was kind of poor mouth and everything." And boy, God did something for my faith with that experience. Can I tell you something? You just need to press on, because today might be the day that your situation goes from a cap situation to a crown situation. The Word of God, when we read our Bibles, here's why we need to read our Bibles often and daily. Because the Word of God screams to us as a Bible reader to simply keep on keeping on. The Bible says over and over, don't stop, don't quit, don't give in, don't turn back, don't bail out. The Word of God says, make it to the finish line. It might be tough now, but it's not over yet. Press on, press on, press on. Because the day could be the day that your cap situation turns into a crown. Our job should be just to simply press on. Mel Fisher was a man that went in search for the Atocha. You say, what's the Atocha? Sunday, September 4th, 1622, a fleet of 28 ships sailed from Cuba. The fleet was heavily loaded with treasure intended for Spain and its new king, Philip IV. Incredible treasure, however, would not arrive. The very next day, a hurricane struck the fleet and 8 ships were driven off the reef in the Florida Straits. Chief among these boats, chief among these ships was one called the Atocha. The ship had a 110-foot by 33-foot hull loaded with treasure. Of the 265 men that were on board, only 5 survived to tell the tale. Treasure was scattered over a 10-mile stretch of ocean as another storm destroyed the ship, and treasure hunters for centuries have tried to locate the salvage of the missing fortune. Over the course of 363 years, no one has succeeded. Then a man by the name of Mel Fisher, a World War II vet, took a fascination to treasure hunting. He sold his successful dive shop in California, relocated all that he had in his family to Florida in search of the Atocha and other shipwrecks like her. Mel had to develop equipment on his own, constantly improving to meet challenging conditions. He had to pioneer search and mapping. They didn't have the stuff that we have now available at our fingertips. So he had to design a lot of his own techniques to cover such large areas. Years passed with no results. Then Mel Fisher would keep the morale of this. And here's what he would do. There was no success for years. And here's what they said he would do. Every day he'd come up on deck, and to keep the morale of his employees stirred up, he'd say, "Gentlemen, today's the day. Today's the day." He did that every day for years upon years. "Today's the day." Well, after 3 years of very expensive searching, he discovered that due to a geographical misinterpretation, he had been searching in the wrong area altogether. He relocated and soon found an anchor believed to be from the Atocha. He also found a gold chain and 2 bars of gold. The government found out about it, put agents on the boat, charged him for the expense, and also demanded that he upgrade his boat. Then the press got a hold of everything, and the press had heard about the discovery and accused Fisher of being a fraud. He was trying, "You're just stirring up to get more people to invest and more people to help you." Fisher continued to innovate and improve his techniques. Funds had become so low that he now had to sell his home, and he moved his family into an old, dilapidated houseboat. All but one of his original team members quit and returned home discouraged. Then, at the 5-year mark, Fisher and his crew found 3 silver bars. Now, I remind you, for 5 years, every day, "Gentlemen, today's the day. Today's the day." This time, the government found out about it, and they confiscated it all. Then they canceled his approvals and permits as they pulled away in a government boat. Fisher's competitors said that the silver bars were another fraud. The press made him out to be a criminal. Fisher now hired some good lawyers, continued the fight regarding his permits. Fisher faced more obstacles when his museum and office, both sharing the interior of another boat, sank. He lost everything. Next, the Securities and Exchange Commission launched an investigation into the stock handling of his company. Meanwhile, other competitors arriving would come. They knew he was onto something. They would ram his boat. They'd wave guns at him. They were trying to scare him off from the area where he was searching. Fisher's team would continue, and soon they found 7 cannons, which were from the Atocha. The rules changed when the government took over treasure salvaging in Florida. Fisher would have to file a lawsuit would file more lawsuits and win. And by the way, he filed 150 in all the searching, 150 different lawsuits, and he won them all. Fisher would go on and find the Santa Margarita, another treasure ship in the same fleet. This find brought him much-needed finances. During this time, Fisher's closest partners turned on him, tried to jump clean on an attempt to steal everything from him. Then Fisher, on top of all this, was diagnosed with cancer. And through this whole process, on one of the dives, his own son drowned. I mean, he had been through an awful lot. Every day, through the drowning of his son, the cancer, 150 lawsuits, the intimidation, all the things, the bad press and the things that people were saying about them. Finally, on July 20th, 1985, after 17 years of searching, the radio call came in. The Atocha had been found. They found what they said was the mother lode. And mother lode it was. 1,041 silver bars at 80 pounds each. Could I just have one, please? Over 230,000 silver coins. $400 million in gold and silver coins and bars. 3,000 Colombian emeralds, gold chains, artifacts, and jewelry. To date, the find of the Atocha is the richest treasure ship ever found. When I found this story, And I've not updated this particular thing, but as of the year 2007, treasure, since 1985 to 2007, daily they were still bringing up treasure from the Atocha. Can I tell you something? Fisher's persistence to keep going and stay the course, it paid off. You say, what did he do? It's just a simple treasure find story, but every day he got up and said, today's the day. Today's the day. You know what in our Christian lives would be good? It's every day to get up and say, you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day that the cap experience I'm dealing with could be the crowning experience, whether it's temporal or whether it's heaven. And if we're ever to experience the crowns, we've got to endure the caps. We must answer the call. You say, what's the call? Press on. Press on. And that's a challenge I give you today. Press on. Today is the day. If you're going through a cap experience and it's frustrating you, you hang in there and you press on. There is a crowning experience on the way. Preacher.